skip our Bible, our scripture reading and go right to the special. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll be there in just a minute. Brother McDonald, your family's singing. Come on and sing for us this morning. And as soon as we're there through with that, we'll be in Ephesians 3 there. And the same passage we've been in last Sunday morning, last Sunday night, beginning with verse 14. Enjoy the song. Duet.
The Lord is holy, the Lord is pure, He is omnipotent, His word is sure, He is Creator, He's ruler of all, of this great God of mine, I stand in awe. And with my life in the hands of this faithful God, how can I fear the path He'd have me trod, knowing He is sovereign and loving, capable and caring. I must simply obey what He bids me do. He will give me the grace to see me through. And oh, the joy and peace I find in doing His will.
Sunday morning, Sunday night, we are in Ephesians chapter 3 and looking at the prayer Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers, those folks who were saved and members of the church there in Ephesus. And we spoke last Sunday morning on being strong where it counts, because he prayed in verse number 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, being strong where it counts. And then Sunday night we preached on that verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. His request was that the Ephesian Christians would experience the power of the indwelling Christ. Friend, the indwelling Christ in our lives brings forth fruit. That's what the Bible teaches us in John 15. If we abide in Him, and He abides in us, He makes us fruitful. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and lasting fruit. And that's all kinds of fruit. That's not just the fruit of a Christian, which is another Christian. It is fruits unto holiness, and fruits of righteousness, and fruits of praise and thanksgiving. And the power of the indwelling Christ makes us a fruitful child of God, a fruitful Christian. That was Paul's first two prayer requests. Now we're going to look at verse number 17. Pick it up in the middle of the verse with that word that, okay? Because that's the third request. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, and that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so I want to speak this morning on this request, being secure in His love. Being secure in His love. Father, thank You today for the privilege to have the service. Thank You for Your eternal Word. Now, will Your Spirit please come and blow on us as only He can. Fill our hearts, our minds with His fullness. Bless both speaker and listener. Help us, Lord, to be zeroed in and concentrate, and our hearts to be helped and encouraged today from the depths of Your book. And we'll thank You for it. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Now, we just finished a good week at Cedar River Baptist Camp, and there was about 250 teenagers and leaders that turned out for the camp, and God gave us some really good services there. The weather was a factor all week. We got rain all Tuesday afternoon and early Wednesday. I mean hard at times, downpour, and hard on Wednesday morning, and then it got hot. The heat index Thursday was 117 heat index out there at the camp. Thank God for the air conditioning in the tabernacle nowadays. And so then we had a good Thursday night. We were sleeping. Joyce and I were driving home Friday morning. And Thursday night there was a tremendous storm. I mean a deluge of rain and sticks and limbs being blown off the trees and lightning and tremendous thunder and high winds. And we were sleeping in a cabin with a tin roof. And boy, it was noisy, I'm telling you. Bang, pop, and all that rain on there. And I was laying there listening to everything. And I wondered to myself how much of the corn is going to go down. Because I'm just sure it was going to go down. How much of the corn is going to go down? And it looks great out there like it does here. I mean, it's, huge stalks, 6, 7, 8 feet tall and fully tasseled out and shooting ears and in some cases double ears. And, you know, I have seen fields. That's great for a farmer. And then you get some wind and rain, and I've seen that corn go down. And I was expecting. So Friday morning, the way it works is I tell her on Thursday night, now whenever I wake up, we're leaving. And I'm going to have a little bit of compassion on you because sometimes I wake up as early as 4:30. I think I woke up about 5:15. And I said, are you awake? I said, let's go. And so we got up and we got things together and we left and we started home. And none of the corn was down. It was all standing tall. And here's the reason why. In that part of Iowa, earlier this year, they didn't have any rain. It has only recently started raining in that part of Iowa. So for the first part there, when the corn was planted back in April, May, probably early June, there was no or very little rain. And folks, when corn doesn't get rain from here on the ground, its root system is incredible in going out to search for that rain. You have the brace roots that come off the bottom of the stalks. Those are the little things that you see off the bottom of the plant, which basically they are what they're called, brace roots. They keep it from doing it. They try to brace it. But that tap root, there's another root system about 2 feet under the ground. That tap root on a corn plant can go as far as 7, 8, and Brother Maxwell told me this morning, 10 feet deep. That means when it's dry, the roots are just going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the soil to find the moisture. And so when that strong wind came Thursday morning, between the brace roots and the tap root and the other root system there in the first 2 feet of subsoil, those corn plants stayed tall in the midst of the storm. And that's exactly what Paul is writing about here. in this passage. That's exactly what he's praying for these Ephesian believers. First of all, he's praying that they will experience strength where it counts. He's praying, number two, that they will experience the power of the indwelling Christ, which will help them serve God fruitfully. And then he's praying, thirdly, that they will be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Not in the love of the spouse as much, or the love of the parent, or the love of a child, or the love of a friend, but rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. So Paul was praying that these Christians would be deeply settled, would be fixed, would be secure, would be stable in the love of Christ Jesus. You know, I thought this week as I was thinking about this passage, is it a coincidence that the very first song a young child learns is, Jesus loves me, this I know? If I was a betting man, I'd bet you that 99% of the children reared up in church, that was the very first song they loved. They probably sing that back there in our toddler Sunday school class, Tasha, as she does in there. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I don't believe it's a coincidence, friend. I believe God desires for us to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Those are words of stabilization. Those are words of security. Rooted, having roots fixed deep. Grounded, that has to do with the foundation fixed firmly. So the Christian should be standing on the firm foundation of Christ's love with our roots running deep into Christ's love. And that creates security and that creates stability. And we need to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ to withstand the strong storms and trials of life that come our way. Rooted in Christ's love. Grounded, secure in His love. You know, the greatest and strongest sense of security in our relationship with God is created by His love. Friend, what calms the fearful heart of a child during a strong or severe storm of rain and lightning and thunder? What brings security to that child's heart? Is it the structure of the house? How does it bring security to that child's heart? That child doesn't know the difference. He can't comprehend the advantage of having walls made of 2x6s rather than 2x4s or concrete rather than wood. He doesn't comprehend all of that. That doesn't calm his fear. That child's fear is calmed when they run to mom and dad's bed and they hop in bed with them, and it's not the bed, it's the love of the dad and the mom that calms their fears. I'm with dad, I'm with mom, they will take care of me. Their peace, their security, their stability is rooted in the love of God. So it is with you and me. We have a powerful and big God who spoke the worlds into existence, and all the heavenly bodies were created by the word of His mouth. But that doesn't give us as much security and stability as His love for us creates. His love creates security. His love creates stability. It is the love of Christ that secures us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Secure in His love. At the camp this week, I take a bunch of sermons with me, and usually there are some messages that God has used in the lives of teenagers to help and bless them. But I got my mind on a message. For some reason, I was going through messages with Joyce on the way back from Texas in preparation for the camp in Iowa, and I thought, let's put that number down. That number of the book was 41. Put that sermon book number down. I might use, and it was a message on the potter's house. Jeremiah 18, where we are the clay and He is the potter. And the potter works with pressure, and the potter works with purpose, and the potter works with patience. And for some reason, God led me to preach that on Wednesday night to a bunch of teenagers. That wouldn't ordinarily be the kind of a message that you would preach to a teenage young people, 250 of them, at a camp. But folks, listen, not all kids come from a stable and secure family environment. I preach to a lot of children, a lot of teenagers out there who have a dad and mom in their home. Have a biological dad and mom, like many of you kids here. But there are people here who don't come from those kind of homes. There are kids out there going through situations, going through circumstances that are not their fault. They were innocent. It wasn't their fault dad walked out on them. It wasn't their fault that mom walked out on them. They didn't choose the circumstance they're in. And it's not as stable and secure, if you will, as a lot of the kids who come from churches and church families where the biological dad and mom are together and everything has been, you know, raised in church and taught in church. In fact, two of the boys at the camp this week, their dad was just put in jail last week. And they're not bus boys. They're church boys. Their dad was put in jail. Three or four of the teenagers there this week, a couple of boys and girls, their dad died earlier this year. Two sisters at camp, just a few weeks ago, their mom walked out on them. Some of those situations I knew about before I preached that message on the Potter's House. Some of those situations I didn't know about, but I'll tell you this much. I began to talk about teenagers being in circumstances and situations that were not of their own choosing, and the hurt and the pain and the loneliness that goes with those circumstances. And I'm telling you, folks, while I was preaching, the tears began to trickle down some of the cheeks on the boys' side and the girls' side because they identify with the hurt. They're experiencing it. They understand the pain. They're not living in this, you know, a little situation where everything is all hunky-dory. They're in a situation, and it wasn't of their own choosing, and it wasn't of their own doing. They were totally innocent, had nothing to do with their situation whatsoever. And it was wonderful to tell them that what you need to understand is that you're not a second-class citizen, and God has not forgotten you, and He doesn't forget. He knows where you live, and He knows who you are, and He knows the numbers of the hairs on your head, and the situation that you're in that is not of your own choosing, He is using as pressure to mold you and form you into His purpose for your life. And boy, did they respond. Boy, did they respond. I couldn't believe it. Brother Bragg had no idea what I was preaching on this morning. He told me here just during the shaking hands time, he said, "Hey, Dad told me to tell you that the message on the Potter's House on Wednesday night really helped some of the kids from the church there." His church was there. Some of the kids from his church. Secure and stable is what is the result of being rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And I tried to convey that to those kids. You know, even though everything may not be hunky-dory at home, you can be restful. You can rest in the security and the stability of the fact that Jesus loves you. And there's a security and a stability that creates that you can't be compared to anything else. Let me give you three thoughts about this love of Christ from this passage this morning, and I'm going to try to move quickly here. First of all, it's the impartial love. It's an impartial love. Look at verse number 18. Paul prayed that they might be able to comprehend with all saints. Now, to get this, understand, folks, to understand that when Paul is writing this church, New Testament Christianity is only about 30 years old. Okay? So the concept of Gentiles getting saved and coming into the grace of God and the church and everything is only about 30 years old. Most of the talk about God and His love involves the children of Israel from the Old Testament time period. But what Paul is saying here is, hey, Gentile Christians at the church at Ephesus, I want you to know that God's love, the love of Christ, is an impartial love. You hear about how He loved Noah and how He loved Abraham and how He loved Isaac and Jacob and how He loved Job and how He loved David and how He loved Elijah. Elijah and Solomon and Elisha and Samuel and all those Old Testament prophets and priests and so forth, how much He loved His people, the nation of Israel. He said, I want you to know, Gentile believers, that Christ's love is an impartial love, and He loves you, Gentile believers, as much as He loved all those Old Testament saints. His love spans eons of time. And on and on and on, it said here that nobody is left behind, you know. Nobody is chosen over the other. One of the things I told about on Wednesday night was I told about a book I read several years ago called Point Man. And it was about being the leader of your home and so forth in the right spirit and right way. And it told the story of a police officer out in California who was called to the scene of what they thought was a domestic disturbance. What was really going on was a husband and his wife were splitting up. And he was in the process of loading his vehicle with items from the house. And he would carry an item out, and she and him would fuss about it and argue about it. Sometimes she would say, okay, and he would say, I'm taking this anyway. You can't take that. I'm taking this anyway. And the policeman just, there was no domestic violence. It was just a fuss between a husband and wife who were splitting up. And so the policeman stayed there just to watch for a little while. And he told the author of the book, he said, it was heart-wrenching when the car was finally all loaded with material possessions. Three kids standing there, and the dad looked at the mom and he said, well, okay, which ones do you want? And that mother had to decide, I'll keep this one. I don't know how it all turned out. That's awful. And I want to tell you something. You know what Paul is praying for these Gentile believers in the church at Ephesus? He's praying that they will understand that God's love is impartial. He doesn't choose between the Old Testament saints and the New Testament Christians. His love is the same throughout eons of time. It's an impartial love. Are you a child of God? It doesn't matter how long you have been saved. It doesn't matter if you are the first from your family to be saved or if you come from a generation of saved family members. The security and the stability of Christ's love is for all saints. It's for all believers. It's an impartial love. Impartial love. Number two, it's an incomparable love. Now, I have to take you to my study time and through my preparation process to explain this point. And I wish I could stand behind this pulpit this morning and tell you that after hours of thought and meditation and comparing Scripture, I have a great understanding of this passage. I can't do that. I can't do that. But I'll give you what I came up with. I'm studying. I'm writing this message. I've been meditating and thinking on it for days. I know Paul is talking about the love of Christ. I know he wants us to be rooted and grounded in Christ's love. And he says, I want you to be rooted and grounded in Christ's love in verse number 18, that you might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Four dimensions. Four dimensions. Would you like to know how much time I went to the internet and tried to figure this out? Four dimensions? And there's terminology that I can't even pronounce. So am I going to get up here and try to impress you with words that I can't even pronounce this morning? Four dimensions? I mean, I understand figuring volume. If we had an empty cardboard box, and how much volume does that box hold? We measure the length and the width and the depth or the height. But that's three dimensions. Paul uses four dimensions. He says the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And then he says in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. I'm to know a love that nobody can know. So I'm thinking, is all of this put together to say, I want you to comprehend that the love of Jesus Christ is incomparable. I want you to know that the love of Christ can't really fully be measured by a human being. A human being can't put it into terms. A human being can't put it into verbiage where a human can comprehend it. It is so broad. It is so high. It is so deep. It is so long. It is so timelessness. It's beyond human comprehension, and you just need to understand that you'll never understand it. And that's okay with me. Maybe that's what the songwriter meant. I can't believe this song isn't in the book. That's a great hymn book we have, but Brother Hiltabiddle, I can't find the love of God in that book. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star, there's your height, and reaches to the lowest hell, there's your depth. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When hoary time shall pass away, there is timeless. And earthly thrones and kingdoms fall when men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call. God's love so sure shall still endure. All measureless and strong, measureless. You can't put a tape on it. You can't put a volume. It's beyond the comprehension of man. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink, listen to the verbiage of these words, could we with ink the ocean fill up the ocean with ink? And were the skies of parchment made, so the oceans are full of ink and the sky is one big piece of parchment. And every stalk on earth is a quill, a writing instrument. Every weed, every stalk that's out there. You got an ocean full of ink. You got a sky full of parchment. You've got enough quills. Every weed, every stalk on earth is a quill. And every man is a scribe. So every person is a writer and they have a quill. They have a writing instrument and they have an ocean full of ink and they have a sky made out of parchment. All right? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. I can't stand up here and break this down and exegete this for you today and tell you, folks, this is what this means. I believe what this means is, Paul says, the love of Christ is incomparable. You can't put it in human terminology. You can't put it in human comprehension. You can't put it in human understanding. You can't say it's like this because it's not like anything. You can't compare it to anything. And that's the love that creates security and stability in our hearts with a God that loves us that much. With a God that loves us that much. You and I don't have to question when the storms come and the winds blow and the lightnings flash and the thunder rolls. Does God love all? Friend, let me tell you, when you and I are rooted and grounded in the depths of God's love, we will be stable, we will be secure Christians, because that's what the love of Christ does. It creates stability and it creates security. That's why the songwriter wrote, "Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me." Incomparable. It is impartial love. It is incomparable love. And let me say last of all this morning, number three, it's inclusive love. It's inclusive love. Now look with me at the verse number 17. In the middle of the verse is his third part of the prayer. That's where it begins, with the word "that." He says, "that ye." Now do you know what part of speech that is right there in that English King James Bible? That second person pronoun, which is plural. You know what "ye" means? Y'all. It means y'all. See, the Bible's Southern, folks. You just got to know how to do it. Isn't there a verse in the Old Testament where Elijah said, "Go fetch it"? Yeah. I'm telling you, it's Southern. It's Southern. It's the American by birth, Southern by the grace of God. Amen. I know it's not going over well here, but that's all right. "Ye" means you all. You all. Simpler way to say it. Y'all. Now, folks, who is he writing to? He's writing to the church where? At Ephesus. So he's saying to a local church, "Hey, members of the local church at Ephesus. God wants you all, along with all the saints of all time, to comprehend that the love of Christ is immeasurable. It's impartial. And it's inclusive. And it includes you. You all in the Ephesian church. You all live in a wicked culture, inundated by the worship of the great goddess Diana. A culture steeped in idolatry. So common that the silversmiths were in great demand. They said the culture is going to try and pull on your hearts. But he said, people of Ephesus, believers of the church at Ephesus, you are rooted and you are grounded and you are fixed deep on the strong foundation of the love of Christ. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's not just for everybody to generically enjoy. It's for you members at First Baptist Church of Ephesus to enjoy this. And folks, that y'all is for you and me. It's for us. Because this Bible was recorded and preserved to help God's people in time to come. Even though this was written to a local church in the city at Ephesus in about 63 or 64 A.D., it is as real for us today as it was for them back then. So let me put it in current vernacular. Hey, Faith Baptist Church believer, as you watch the two major political parties in America nominate vile people, as the LGBT crowd infringes on your freedom, as ISIS and those in ideological agreement with them continue to maim and kill, as the assassination of policemen grows in popularity, as the federal government continues to expand and squash your liberty, I don't want you to topple. I don't want you to blow over. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to faint. I don't want you to throw in the towel, because I want you to know you're rooted and grounded. I want you to be rooted and grounded in the deep, deep love of Jesus Christ. Nothing formed against you is stronger than the deep, deep love of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what he's praying for these people. I want you to be rooted and grounded in Christ's love. I want you to know what all the saints in ages past have known, that the love of Christ is impartial, the love of Christ is incomparable, and the love of Christ is inclusive all the way down to the day in which you are now living. I'm going to tell you, child of God, I've said this, it's been a little bit of a theme for a while here. While this world churns and burns on its way to hell, and our country is imploding in front of our eyes, I don't care what you are, Democrat or Republican, that's the best we have to offer. Help us. You say, I'm going to get an ulcer. You don't have to. What you need to do instead of getting an ulcer is get yourself rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Go deep in it. Enjoy it. This is no license to sin. This is no liberty. It's to live like I want to because Christ loves me. Like I am. That's not what this is talking about. What this is talking about is ours is going so deep and rooted and grounded on a foundation of the love of Christ, that friend, and it's impartial love. It's the same love that He loved Abraham with, that He loved Moses with, He loves me and you with. And it's an incomparable love. You can't say it's like this because it's not. And it's inclusive. It's for me in the year 2016 when the storms are raging and the thunder's clapping and the lightning's flashing. We can stand tall, rooted and grounded in Christ's love. Does that make sense to y'all? Rooted and grounded in Christ's love. Now let me say this morning, If you're here today and you're not saved, you're not born again, you can't begin to enjoy the love of Christ until you trust Him as your Savior. Now, He loves you so much so that He went to the cross and died there and shed His blood to pay your sin debt, keep you out of hell. And He loves you with you even if you reject Him. But you can begin to enjoy some of this love I preached about this morning if you'll come to Him and be saved. Trust, like the brother said, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the power of God in the salvation. And you can begin to enjoy this deep, deep love of Christ. Wonderful. Wonderful. No wonder the very first song we start to learn, Jesus loves me, this I know. I know. Let's pray together. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning through Your Word, through Your Spirit. Would You please descend upon this place and do a good work of encouragement and blessing in the hearts of Your people. May we in these very troubled days be rooted and grounded in love. The love of Christ, the impartial love, the incomparable love, the inclusive love. To stand tall amidst the storms. God, make it so, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who said, Pastor, throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I have been a little fearful, anxious, and I see the need just to go deeper and deeper into the love of Jesus Christ and enjoy the benefits of that deep, deep love and be secure, grounded, stable in that love. Pray for me. I needed that reminder this morning. God bless you. I see any other hands up today? Yes, 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 and yes. Amen. Thank you, many. God bless you. Take your hands down. Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, let me ask this question this morning. Is there anybody here who would say, Brother Angel, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know where I'll spend eternity. Have no idea where I will go when I leave this world. If that's you this morning, can I just pray for you in a generic way in just a moment? I'd love to do that. Or if you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved and going to heaven when you die, would you slip your hand in the air and just slip it up and I'll see it. God bless you. You can take it down. Somebody else, not sure you're saved. Somebody else, not sure. All right. God bless you. You may take it down. If you're not sure that you're saved, as soon as the music begins, would you please leave your seat and come to the front and let somebody take a Bible and show you. We have ladies to talk to ladies and men to talk to men. Would you please come to Christ this morning? He loves you so much. And you can begin to enjoy that love if you'll come and trust Him as your Savior today. I can't force you to, but I sure can ask you to come. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and you came to obey the Lord in believer's baptism, now's the time for you to come while we wait. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and those folks are here to help prepare you for baptism. And then, of course, if you want to join the church, you've talked to us about it, you come as well. Father, work in our hearts. Bless the invitation. May God get glory to Himself from this, I pray. What we do, may what we do right now please the Lord. If we need to come, help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Would you come this morning and would you come to be saved? If you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you come? That's right. That's wonderful while we wait this morning. That's wonderful. While we wait today.